To episode 121 of Caithness Craft Collective. I'm Louise and today I've got a Burns Night supper party. There is also the Me 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 section, a dram section with a Point Du blended malt whiskey, and the shoppy section to end with. I sponsor this for my own energy engineering business, Energy Hunt. Any links are with the show notes, so get your cup of tea or your dram. I'll let you know what crack is in Caithness this week. I've also got Quattro breathing in the background, he's sitting in front of the fire, and Buchel will probably make an entrance at some point because he's been in disgrace today again. Can you believe it? A 6 month old puppy, yep, and a green highlighter pen and a carpet. Yep, I'll let you make your own conclusions to that one. So he's been in disgrace most of the afternoon and I've just made up with him and put him out, so he might come in full of the joys of spring, having forgotten that he's caused me to scrub my carpet for half an hour and not have much success. However, I've been told soap is the way forward. But enough of my carpet and my puppy. Well, listeners, it's time for the annual Burns Night supper party. Come one, come all! We'll see out January's storms, snows, gales, and if you're in the Southern Hemisphere, the too hot weather, by forgetting it all. Well, let's have a bit of a shindig, Caithness craft style. You'll be required to get your glad rags on, and I expect you to be wearing some kind of crafted something, be it an egg cosy to a full-on knitted onesie, complete with a cable-knitted front. From the young squealers to the oldians, come all in! Some of you need to come from far, far away, along with Shrek and Fiona. But I've sent the TARDIS to get you. It's immune to snowstorms, weather bombs, heat waves, so just stick your needles in the air, wave them in a figure of eight, shout, "Party, please!" and it will promptly appear. Lovely noise. Ho ho ho! Laurie Starr, should have known you would have put it up first. Excellent. She's a party animal. So we're in for a treat. What's that, Shiny Bee Joe? You're a party animal too? It's okay, Petal, there's a cage in the TARDIS for you lot. The rest of you docile ones can be rest assured that those who like to party can party, and us that just like to dip our toes in and can shut out their soundproof door them. I said shut the soundproof door, Heather. Oh, sorry, you're on the wrong side. Oh, yep, okay then. But leave me with the Debbie's Taffophile and Keridan. Here we go. I've got the May Hall all kitted out again, like the room of requirement for us all. I mind the day when we used to all fit in my kitchen. Oh, I'm very grateful y'all now, though. Yep, even you, twin set, Jan and Aileen. Pile in, lovely listeners. Those that want a seat or need a seat, there's plenty. Coggy, Fiona, Jamie, Kelly, there's seats aplenty for you. Although the entire crew seem to have found a seat and are already sitting down. Knitting! Well done. White Tart has already found herself a good corner. Ach well, fair enough to start off with. But need your moving about dancing shoes, which I know you all have in your trusty tartan bag. I made a killing doing them. Yep, take off those fancy LL Bean boots, Pat Frag, and just leave them over by my bag. Oh, whoopsie, where did they go? Well, that's amazing, I'm like Dorothy. They're on my feet! Funny that. Cold. Oh, here you go, I'll put them back beside your own bag. I'd be like stealing sweeties from a baby, that. And how is everyone? Are you all in now? Oh yes, I can hear Buchel's come to join us. He's a little bit excitable, so if I let him run mad for a while, then he'll calm down. Sleep in a corner, alongside the other doggies and cats that we see on Instagram. Or if he doesn't, we can always dog shame him again. Cotter just sits back and laughs at him. Yep, he's chewed Lion-O from Thundercat's foot off, making Thundercats or not go. And also, alas, poor Barbie had her hand chewed off. So he's doing wonders for the raising awareness of less able toys. And Fat Louise Scully doesn't behave herself, then she's going to be included in the shaming notices. Get that sheep out, Louise. Or, well, at least put it in the pen with the others. Honestly, she's obsessed. Right, Becky Caldwell, you're in charge of them all. What do you all want to drink now? You have to have a couple of drinks to toast the haggis, so get your glasses charged, whether it's milk, tea, champagne, hard stuff, get them filled up. Oh, look at Fibertrick. Get hers with Highland Park. Oh, fair drum session going on between her, Fibertown, 100 Projects, 3 Bad Cats and Judith from Holland. All on that table. They know their stuff. Okay, we've got the podcasters coming in en masse. I'm going to spread them out now so you get a blether with them. Well, so I'm going to curtail the electric sheep along with Hoxton and our wee lammy. They're all headed up to the family table along with Curious Handmaid, Playful Day, Jasmine, Gigi, Lost Geeks, Arlen. Pause here. Shiny Bee. She wasn't around. I think she's got a babysitter. She's needing a bother because there's rakes of you listeners who'd have loved to help out with the little ones each for a shoddy. And if it all gets too much, we can call the TARDIS back and I'll drive them around the block or universe until they drop off. Doctor Who's got a wonderful singing voice. Don't tell him I said that. He doesn't like compliments. And of course, there's the geeky girls. Nick from Tales from the Plain. Susan Dolph, because she still counts. Maria from Subway Knits, along with the Janes, the Marys, the Karen and Maggie. Maggie now follows me on Twitter. Ah! I don't think she actually knows who I am, but they're of the Knit 1, Geek 2. And then there's Mel. Lovely Mel. And then there's Knitting Story Ladies, Shorty Sutures, I Make, Charles, Spark the Shoes Go Faster Gang. And loads more. Please be upstanding for the entrance of the haggis. Paula, of course, piping it in. Thank you very much, Paula. She's almost too good for us now, you know. They've done really well in competitions, left, right and centre this year. Give her a good cheer and thank her, everyone. Now stay standing, we'll have Mum give the Selkirk grace. Some him eat and can't eat, and some would eat it that want it. But we him eat and we can eat, so let the Lord be thanked. You may wish to, of course, insert your own grace here, there, if you so wish, because this party is everyone inclusive. Annie's fresh from catching your haggis which run around the wilds of Caithness. I present to you, Richard, to do the address to the haggis. Well, actually, he's going to do it in the drab, so time yourself about there and listen to it there. And come back again. Oh, watch yourself in the front row there, Giffnet girl, Tartan Nick, Annie spin for the flying of the haggis as he cuts it open. Also, you're the Scottish crew, so really you should know better. Oh, hold on, of course, you're there for that exact reason. Extra food early on. Obviously very hungry after your journey of 5 minutes in the TARDIS. In that case, let's get the haggis neeps and tatties, or clap shop, dished out. There's vegetarian, vegan, normal haggis available. What do you mean you don't like it, Mel? Look, even little Alana is eating it. How can you have your pudding if you dinna eat your meat? Said Pink Floyd from another brick on the wall. Subliminal message. Look into the eyes, not around the eyes, into the eyes, and you're under. For my party, you all love haggis, or haggai, or all other weird Scottish food. And let's face it, there's less scary things in a haggis than in a sausage. And you're back in the room. Hungry? Oh, Mel, you need a second helping. No problem, we'll fatten you up a bit. Not a third helping, Lisa McGuire or Susan B. Anderson. Nope, skinny runny things, but here, have some pudding. Kranichen. Now, it's made of raspberries, oats, cream, for those that do a drop of whiskey. Hey, Katrina Borg, here. You can have some of this alongside your pavlova. Yummy, yummy, yummy. Now, have a wee blether between yous and knit now while the dishes are tidied up magically. And again, I've employed the house elves. Hermione, I am paying them, even if they don't want it. So stick your spew. I'm that way inclined. Let's have a wee look at everyone's work while we digest a bit before the toasts. There's some milkmaid stockings by Gold Threads. Oh, that's nice. The patterns by Kat Bordy. Two ladies I'd love to meet. And then there's Alice Jeffcoats has made the Diva jacket by Han Falkenberg, which looks very stylish. J.M. Allen has something you will require this week in the snow. She's made a hot water bottle by Monobow Designs. I love the shade of pink you've used. FRK Strick has made a beautiful number one jumper. That's the name of the pattern, number one, by Hitomo Shidi. And it's a Japanese pattern, which she doesn't read nor speak. So I think she's done a fabulous job. Then we find Laurie Starr has made a very nice job with the Regina Marie by Sarah Birch, which is a shawlette, and you do the lace border part first and then a plain body. Well, it looks kind of a plainer. I didn't look too hard. But it's a really bonny lavender colour. Silver Spring Knit has made a stunning peach shawl, which is by M1 Designs, and it looks to me kind of like a dragon tail. Happy Lucky Alex has been using up miscellaneous stash for colours of a three-colour Yohi Lakteli quill. I hope I've said that correctly this episode, because I know I didn't the last time. And finally, Rolling Stone has made a very nice job of a Winter Flame scarf by Benjamin Matthews. I've got these from the group sharing photos, which I really enjoy looking at. So if you're loading your photos and finished projects onto Ravelry, please do include the Caithness Craft Collective group when you choose to who to share it with. Okay, are you ready for the toast of the lassies? This used to be because the ladies generally made the dinner, and it was the company's way of thanking them. What could possibly be described as a little bit sexist back in the day has now been turned either into a prior arrangement of public compliments or a bit of cheek. And depending on how well everyone knows everyone, depends on the category here. So I'm going to get Sandy to do this so you can guess which one of my wee gentlemen is going to go for.
To the lasses.
Insert Oz. Gentlemen, to the lasses. And drink. And the reply to the laddie's toast. This is the lassie's reply, which reflects the aforementioned speech. In one way, it's grand to get a compliment across in public in a genuine way. And if it's the other way, it's good to have a forum to do this in a safe environment. In the small print here, it only works if the group dynamic is pre-thought of and the speeches are written. There's no point cutting to the bone speech back to one that isn't, and you are in a crowd of people not expecting it. I think we'll have a small daisy reply here.
To the laddies.
Ladies, to the laddies. And drink. Right, yes, the formality's over. Time to charge the glasses again and we'll have a short whiskey tasting going on. Oh, here's what I prepared earlier. Richard and I drank a blended malt whiskey.
We're drumming. I hope you like drumming. Hello.
Hello, welcome into this episode of The Drams, lovely listeners. This episode is the Burns Night Special.
Oh.
And this episode we are drinking at, how do you say that?
I think it's Poit Du. I know the Du's right, but the Poit is P-O-I-T-D-H-U-B-H, Poit.
And it's blended malt Scotch whisky, which I didn't actually realise it was blended. It's an awful price for blended.
Right, it's got very good reviews.
Oh, right.
I'm not fussed on age or blend or whatever. One of the best whiskies I've ever tasted is a blend.
Which was?
Monkey Shoulder.
Oh, somebody on Instagram was having minced Monkey Shoulder the other day.
Oh.
I bought that for Christmas for you.
It's cracker, love it. Still got loads left.
So you do.
Yeah. And Poit Du means black pot or black still, which refers to the traditional way it used to be made. And that's how they sell this stuff.
Boogle's having a dream.
The dog's having a dream.
Oh. Rabbits.
Rabbits, mice.
Mice.
Postmen. Buses.
Buses, I'll buffet you.
They like buses.
No, they take the children away.
Mm. So, it's sold on the traditional way, and it's not produced by a big multinational conglomerate chain type business. It's a small independent business and still based in the Hebrides. Mm-hmm. So interesting, and it's got very good reviews. So
we got this box from the Mackay's Grocers in Thurso, and it was about £38, something like that, which is why it surprised me, because I thought it was a single malt. So the box itself is black, but in the middle of the front and the back, it has a cellophane shape taken out of it so you can see the whiskey behind it. And the white writing, and it's a cuboid type of box, and it's got white writing, unchill filtered, where it's from in the sky, with the address, 70 centilitres, 43% volume of alcohol, and... Oh, it's got lots of awards. Need a close up here and got my glasses on. International Wine and Spirit Competition Award. It's got a gold 2010, a silver 2010, and a silver 2010 best in class. for the international. That's excellent. I like it when things get stuff like that. And distilled, matured and bottled in Scotland. The top of it has a picture of a trawler on it in white line drawing. It doesn't actually tell you what the boat's called. And it says the Gaelic Whiskies.
It's Fior Uiscava.
Which means, do you know?
I know it Fior's something to do with water, but Uiscava is water of life. So maybe...
I like that word, Uiscava.
Uiscava.
Mm-hmm. Makes you sound thirsty. But let's open it. Right.
Oh, look at that.
Age 12 years.
12 years.
Do you know, the way that the whiskey, the box is, it makes it look thinner. When you take that out, it just looks like a normal bog standard bottle. Describe the bottle.
Traditional. Mm-hmm, very traditional.
Very.
The kind of thing you would see in the top of the bar, shelf at the back, behind or in front of the mirror.
Mm-hmm.
Sitting covered in dust.
Yes, it is. Yes, definitely.
Mm. This is a connoisseur's garlic whiskey.
Ooh. Does that make us connoisseurs, Richard?
No, it just makes us truths. Do you want me to read it out?
Yeah, go on then.
Poich du, pronounced poch du, the Gaelic term for an illicit still malt whisky, is one of the great whiskies produced for the independent Hebridean company Prabban Nalini on the Isle of Skye. This 12-year-old malt whisky is an elegant and smooth, with a soft sweetness balanced by a subtle peatness, giving a long, smooth and smoky finish. Following the best of traditional methods, this whisky is unchill filtered, imparting a softness to the spirit and a richness to the flavour. It may appear hazy if chilled. In Isle of Skye, local legend claims that as the Gaels invented whisky, having Gaelic on the label created and greatly improved the flavour. Slangeva, a hula lava, a kish nachfie. I don't know what that means. I've done Slange of Asgard Health. Hmm. Interesting.
Oh, it's got the great big sticker of drink responsibly, people.
Yes.
That one.
No, that's excise duty.
Oh. Oh. You mean we don't have a drink responsibly, people?
I don't think we do have a drink responsibly at all.
Excellent. I love it when they say that you don't
especially
need to.
Especially when it's 43%.
Yeah.
So it's small writing as well, so it's quite hard to read that, actually.
Mm.
Okay, well, I...
You could please, yes.
And, oh, and the colour in the glass.
The colour I would give Chewbacca.
Chewbacca. Definitely, John.
Oh, Daisy was doing a brilliant Chewbacca impression the other night. And she... we were driving into hailstones, and it was dark. And it was like we were going into hyperspace in the Millennium Falcon. Good cork start, not much of a finish. And
very subtle smell.
Oh, sorry, I'm still doing my Chewbacca story. Yeah, it's quite subtle. I'll tell you something about that in a second, what Joe said to do. And so we were driving in the hailstones, and I says, it's just like driving into hyperspace. And then I went, punch it, Chewie, just as the hail started. And behind me I heard this, grr, arg, grr. And it was Daisy doing her Chewbacca impression. Right, you have to bury your nose into the glass and lose yourself in the smells.
I'm afraid my nose has kind of been flattened a few times, so it doesn't really point out that much.
I know, but we're supposed to be actually using proper whisky glasses. There's hardly any smell to that.
No, it smells like very, very subtle.
Yeah, it's not strong and it's not burn water in my eyes or anything.
Flowery. Flowery, like, not flowery as in milled flower, but flowery as in meadow flowers.
Smells like whiskey.
A bit of honey there as well.
Whiskey listeners, definitely whiskey.
I'm not getting any Peter smoke.
No, neither am I. Is it supposed to have Peter smoke in it? Right, it's very,
it's
very
sweet.
Very
sweet.
Dark in the glass as well. And then, right, Joe, the shiny bees Joe, went to a proper whiskey tasting down in Elgin.
Yeah.
And he said, you know how you put the whisky round the glass and it comes down?
It's even darker in that glass.
Well, there's a reason that it does that. For clinging to the glass.
Yeah, mine's clinging, yeah.
I can't remember what he said.
Is it good or bad?
Oh, no, it was good. It was kind of like
we're on a winner.
We weren't actually talking nonsense, which...
Well, that's like you in physics.
What?
You don't, you know that things are supposed to happen like gravity and we stick to the earth.
Mm-hmm.
But you don't know why or how or where.
I don't care
either. Therefore, you know it's a good thing, but you don't know why. Therefore,
yeah.
Right, vis-a-vis, like that kind of vis-a-vis.
Is that not a comic?
I don't know. It sticks to the glass, you know it's a good thing, but
Roger Melly, the man on the telly. Finbar Saunders.
No one will get that.
Militant. Some of them will.
Oh, it just smells...
Well, quite a subtle smell.
Very. I get quite a sweet, flowery smell.
I'm going to say
I'm,
yes.
I'm not getting any...
Power suggestion and all that.
I'm not getting any smoke or peat there in.
No, I thought... But
I'm not fussed about that, because I think it's a taste. How much water do you want in it?
A reasonable amount.
That's all fine. Separating. Look at that.
Thank you.
Cloudy. It's gone cloudy.
That's because it's unchill filtered.
I know, it's because we got cold water.
Okay.
I'm putting a little bit more whiskey than usual.
Well, Joel says that you're supposed to use a pipette, which we knew that because remember Alan Kelly told us that you just use a pipette. But then they would be getting...
We're not posh enough to own a pipette.
I have pipettes for art stuff.
Well, Sandy doesn't own a chemistry set anymore. Right. Sanjba. Oh.
Stronger in when you taste it.
Getting the peat in this head as well. Big
time. Oh, yeah. That's weird how you can't smell it, but you can taste it.
Oh, I like that.
I like that.
I like that.
Oh, this is my new favourite drink. It's a Skye whiskey.
Ladies and gentlemen, we have a winner.
Talk amongst yourselves.
You know the best bit is, I've tried to do a bit of research and I could find nothing at all about it.
I like that.
And it reads quite subtly, quite, like, it sounds like my kind of whiskey in the box, but it doesn't really, it's not like in your face trying to sell itself to you.
Mm-hmm.
But you think, I think that's something I might like.
Yeah.
Now I've had it.
Oh, I like this. This is nice.
Talk amongst yourself. Or just enjoy this whiskey.
Yeah. Do a bit more knitting, listeners. Just have a wee look at see if you've got that lace.
Go and buy a Point Du.
And oh yeah, you could have a Point Du and we could have a dram together.
Although
very much recommend.
They're pronouncing it slightly different than the way I was taught.
Are you?
Well, isn't it like Point Du?
Poch Du.
Poch Du. It's Poch. Goo.
Well, no.
Poich.
D-H is
do. Do means black.
Black.
But it's spelled slightly different from the way.
Oh, you say potato, I say potato. No, it's cool. Right. Right.
Anyway, back to the whiskey.
So, Chewbacca in the glass as well. Only Chewbacca.
I thought it looked darker, actually, in the glass. When it was out of the bottle in the glass, it looked darker.
Mm-hmm. So, what's darker than Chewbacca?
Dirty Chewbacca.
He was doing the Thurso Moor run. With me at the weekend. It was minking. Minking? Is that a word?
No.
It was minking. And slippy. And the grass part, it was like running on porridge. It was that. Minging. Right, so, Skye.
Skye. Beautiful place.
Very, very
done a few
place.
Jobs up there.
Mm-hmm. Where is it?
In the sort of upper north half of Scotland. On the west coast, very close to the mainland. It now has a bridge. I remember we used to have to get the ferry across it.
Did you get the ferry across it?
Huh?
Yeah,
I once got the ferry across with the Leopard Man of Skye.
Oh, you did, yes.
Who's a man that's completely... I think at the time he was the most tattooed man in Britain or the world. He was tattooed as a leopard. He was just a guy that was... That was his thing. But he was kind of featured on telly and stuff. So, he used to go up there and do a few jobs, and then we went over, me and you went over and did a job over there.
We did at Ailgo.
And I've been over there climbing, camping, fishing.
I've been there with my family when I was a little girl. We went to Portree and all over the place, and I think my dad was working at a Kishern at the time. And I remember this was the days before you had to have seatbelts and stuff. I'm not sure if I'm going to keep this bit in. But one of us had to be in the boot at the whole time because we were too many in the car to be comfortable. And there was a big, huge bumblebee in the car, in the boot. We're going along this single track road and I realised, Dad, stop the car. Why? There's a bumblebee in the boot. So I had to stop the car, run out and let the bee out in the boot.
Keep that in.
This was well before the days of seatbelts and regulations of how many people that had boot. Well, it was fine. Honest, it was fine.
It's a big old island.
Yes, it is.
Right. It's got the the black cooling and the red cooling.
Made very famous recently by Danny McCaskill.
Danny McCaskill, who, well, cycled some of it and did quite a feature on cycling.
Yeah, I'll put the link to that in the show notes, listeners, so you can go on YouTube, but, and then you too will be booking your holidays to go and ski.
All the snobby climbers are going, sacrilege, sacrilege. But it's made for telly. It's not. Oh, he didn't really do the whole thing, but he's done wonders for the tourism of Skye, and no end of.
He's from Skye.
He lives in Skye. Well, he's from Skye. His mum still lives there, and his dad, and he's done no end of benefit to retaining employment in Skye Broadford Hospital. all the mountain bikers trying to emulate what he did and falling off things.
Well, yeah, we don't want you to hurt yourself too.
But he said, I've like some of the stuff he was on, I've climbed a lot of that on Skye. Some of my first climbs were on Skye. Climbed a Keogh.
There's a yarn shop on Skye. There's yarn dyers on Skye. There's a lot of sheep on Skye.
There's sea trout on Skye.
Actually, there was a girl I was at university with that went to Skye. It was from Skye. And Skye's just a wonderful
it's
place.
It's a lovely, lovely place.
Yeah, well worth a visit.
Very touristy now. But there's some...
Probably already was.
There's some beautiful spots. And yeah. It really is beautiful places.
Even in the manky weather. And we get quite a lot of manky weather. And they get quite a lot of manky weather.
It stops raining for 2 days. That's the summertime.
If you're lucky.
If you're lucky, aye. Then it's just a drizzle.
Yeah. So who are you having for your drama this episode, Richard?
I think I'll have anyone that did more laps than me at the Strathpuffer from last weekend.
What's a Strathpuffer?
Strathpuffer's a 24-hour mountain bike race where you go around just over 10-kilometre lap, which is a mix of forestry road, track, trail and downhill across rocks, bit of technical stuff, and... you basically see how many laps you can do. I did it as a team effort, and we did 21 laps. Winners, and you can do it as pairs or solo. A solo guy that got 28 laps, and I can't remember what everyone else got. But
the quads, the team of four, they got 35
laps.
And then there was teams of 10 and teams of two, and then singles.
Aye.
And they had the results for the scrolling as it happened.
Well, it's all online now.
Online, and the wives, because there was very little reception for your phone, and we were watching all night.
And it was in perfect conditions, if you like, snow, ice, stour, frozen trails and stuff. I bought special tyres just for the event, and it was good.
You had a lovely time to yourself, didn't you?
It was hard. I've still got numb toes. They're kind of tingly a week later, but that, I kind of get that when I've done a long cycle, because I had the same when I did the coast to coast. But I did it as well with a bad back. I did my back in the day before, so
you're getting better now, though.
It's getting better. I've had a week of DIY to make it better. So no, it's anyone that did more laps than me, I take my hat off them, because it was quite a hard effort, and the camaraderie was really good. There was three teams of four from Caithness, and we all sort of had a bit of a base camp together. We all looked after each other and helped each other out, so it was all good fun. So, who are you going to have for your drams?
Well, I thought I would have two people.
Two?
I'm greedy that way. Well, you're having the whole lot that did more raps than you, so that's quite a few around this table. I'm going to have, firstly, Robert Burns.
Well, as long as he behaves himself, because I know he's a bit of a womaniser, likes the ladies.
It's okay, I can run away from him.
And you won't understand a word.
Second pal here, I'm going to have Lindsay Sharp, the Scottish athlete.
Cracker.
Because I was talking about her in the last episode, and we didn't have a drama last episode, so I think it's fair enough. I suppose, I don't know whether she would drink whiskey.
I very much doubt she would drink. I don't know, maybe she does.
But in this
but she's drams, an inspiration.
It's magic and it has no effect, so she can have a wee tiny taste.
It's non-alcoholic whiskey. You do get such a thing.
We did talk about this before and we decided that it wasn't a good idea because it would be horrible.
The reviews are very pretty.
Yeah. So, as it's Burns night...
Oh, yes,
Richard has said he would do the...
No, Richard didn't say... Richard has volunteered after much pressure...
Oh, there was no pressure. You just said, well, I do it.
But believe me, if you're sitting where I'm sitting, there's pressure.
I'll do it if you don't want to do it. No, but it'll not be as West Coast sounding as yours.
Okay. Right.
Robert Burns is Scottish. He was born way back when. And he was a poet. And on the 25th of January, it was his birthday. And Scotland tends to have haggis around that time. And pretty older listeners or listeners that know about Scotland will understand this. Newer listeners, hello, might not have heard of this. So, we celebrate haggis Burns Night by having the haggis, which is made up of the wee beasties off the hill. Richard's been out shooting ours, haven't you, dear? Yeah. And
before the season closes.
Yep. And then we have it with potato and turnip or neep. And or a swede. Well, there's always this big debate about which is which. Mashed together.
And a whiskey.
And a whiskey. I like mine with tomato sauce and Worcester sauce.
Brown sauce.
Or brown sauce. We'll have to take some tomorrow. Because we're going to Burns Night tomorrow night. This is Addressed to a Haggis by Robert Burns, read by Richard.
Fair fire on a sonsy face, great chieftain o' the puddin' race, aboon the ma ye take your place. Pates, tripe and therm, we'll aye ye worthy o' a grace, as lang's my arm. The groaning trencher there ye fill, your herd is like a distant hill, your pin was helped to mend the mill, in time o' need. Well, throw your pores the dews distill, like amber bead. His knife see rustic labour dight, and cut ye up wi' ready slight, trenching your gushing entrails bright, like ony ditch. And then, oh, what a glorious sight, warm, reeking, rich. Then horn for horn they stretch and strive, they'll take the hindmost on the drive, till a' their wheels swallowed kites belive, are bent like drums. Then our good man mayst like to rive, bethank it, hums. Is there that o'er his French ragout, or all o'er that word start a sow, or fracas word maker spew, with perfect scorner, looks down with sneering scornful view, on seek a dinner. Poor devil, see him o'er his trash, his feckles as withered rash, his spindle shank a good whiplash, his knee van knit, through bloody flood or field to dash, oh how unfit. But mark the rustic haggis fed, the trembling earth resounds his tread, clap in his wally neva blade, he'll mak it whistle, and legs and arms and hands will sned like taps o' thristle. Your powers will mak mankind your care, and dish them out their bill of fare, of Scotland wants nae stinking ware that jumps and luggies. But if ye wish her grateful prayer, gie her a haggis.
To the haggis.
The haggis.
Thank you, Richard.
What's your take on the dram?
Oh, I like the dram. I would buy that dram again.
So would I.
I would say it was a good price, well worth what I
did. You can get it for £30 off the internet.
But
it's something nice to go to Mackay's and
Mackay's
have a peruse.
Mackay's is a good shop.
It's a good to peruse because it's got like shelves of whiskey.
Mm-hmm. And there's still a few that we've not done actually, because I was thinking that we'd...
There's the hundreds we've not done.
I know, but locally easy to get and at a reasonable price, because we're starting to get to the ones where it's going to be £40 and over.
Yeah, I know.
However...
Well, mind, we tried the miniatures, but it's not cost effective to do that.
But there's not that many more miniatures left as ones that we've not done.
No.
Oh, next we'll have to do the local gin.
Yeah. I'll be like you, though. What does it taste like? Gin.
Oh, you never know. We'll make something up. So, you'd buy that again?
I tell you what, I won't just buy that again. I'm going to have it again.
And on that note, listeners... Better cork action there. Slangevar. Now you will have all digested a bit and are quite a bit merry. Lisa Simmons, let's have a Kaylee. Hooray! Goes too many hobbies, girl. Don't worry, they have a collar. Who will tell you the steps? And my own Sandy and Daisy will demonstrate the Mildred two-step and the Burns dance, which is what Daisy calls the Canadian barn dance. Also, we have a resident Highland country dance experts, Shakur and Arlen, to guide us through. Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome in the band, Whiskey, from Caithness, and I thought we'd have Addie Harper, Kayleigh Band, because he's brilliant. Behold all the kilt toes you have knitted. The queen of them is Sheila from Black Isle Crafts Podcast. Sheila, are you ever going to record again? Well, all good Kayleigh start with the Gay Gordons. So, yes, go on. Yep, even you, Trevor's mum. On you go. Take up Julie Fitzsimmons while you're at it. Take your partners by the hand and let's do a strip the willow. This is a long one, so just keep going. And this will be your exercise for the week, so Lorraine Yard, you'll no need to go running tomorrow. Woohoo! Okay, drop the tempo with a Highland Skittish. No, Trina, I have no clue how to do this one either, but Wyvern Friend and Joy Lynn have got it down pat, and Joy Lynn's son, oh, he's a wonderful dancer. What's that, Knits to Say Sane? You want a faster one? Okay, partner up with Crochet Start and PG Knit Nurse. Only put Knits Just Too Soon in the middle. Make her work for her money. This, I think, will be a progressive Dashing White Sergeant. A fast and furious dance, and you need two sets of three people in one circle. Julia Rondell, Malena Doughty, I say three. So grab Helen Weaver and there you go. Right. Well, I thought, to calm it down now, we could have a designer's dance. So Mel, up you go. Take Susan B. Anderson and Karina Westerman, Paula. Oh, goodness, you're all designers. Natalie Servant, twin sets Jan and Ellen, Claire Devine, Amanda Clark, Pantovels. Who else? Oh, Designer Alley ones. And then we'll have Isolde, Kate Davies, Jackie Harding, Robin Ulrich. Go on, up you go. This is a nice St. Bernard's Waltz, so which means that you can all go that bit slower and we can all go, ooh, and ah, at your latest creations. What that, Moss, we say. So it's time for a Kayleigh break. For those of you still hungry or burnt all that haggis off, Nicole Blackstock didn't have much haggis, so she has room. Well, feed that woman the king of all boobies. I managed to persuade the Caithness quilters to take along the same fare that we had at the Christmas day in November, and oh my goodness, WRI boofy food. Nom 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 nom. We've got the backing band. It's just a wee band I quite like, Mumford and Sons. They were touring about and the TARDIS found them a couple of spare hours, so they're doing Doctor Who a favour. Okay. Me. They can play whilst we shovel more food in, knit more and talk. Don't worry, Marcia Schmarta. They've already had the first pick of the buffet, so you can fire into that lemon drizzle cake. Ah, I made that one. Where's the talking? Because it's got gin in it. Oh, you lot are all funny with drinking, you. What do you mean you don't drink, Catherine MacDonald? This is my party and it's magic. And tonight we've got Rose Rock Gin. Excellent. Big cheer for the Mumfords. They were very good. Spejo, no, you can't go touring with them. Thistle Ridge Farm, you'll have to stop Spejo. Back on to the Kayleigh. A couple of fast ones, slow one, fast one, and then it's the end. Everyone, up on the floor. Don't worry, you lot who have sore knees, backs, toes, fingers, necks. This is a magic party and you can float about. Up you go. The traditional ending to Scottish Kayleigh is a big fight. Oh, no, sorry. I mean an old lang syne. Big circles, everyone, and we'll have to have loads of them, with little ones in the middle and circling out like a pie shawl. Outwards, you know that. So hold your neighbour's hand, and only in the last verse do we cross hands. Don't get that wrong, or they'll know you're an amateur. And none of us are amateurs. Then the bit I hate is the run to the middle and back out again, and back in and back out again. However, as this is my party, and I'll cry if I want to, I might just hover between Simone from Philly, Margie and Linda from Kennebunk. So, keep it my weight. The fight is after because the Knitmores have left a lump of their stash to be taken home. I don't think I'll even go there. I've seen how sharp Stumpy O1's elbows are. I get flattened by... Oh, look! Oh, they've got an infinite twist. Oh, here, hold my handbag, Silver Spring Knit. I'm going in for that. Got it. Oh, sorry. YOK2. Did I land on you? Oh, have you got my yarn? Here, you have this stuff. It's really nice. You make a right bonny shawl out of that. It was a right good scramble. Everyone ended up with something. except me. But it's okay, I've got loads of stuff upstairs. And I've had your company all night. So, lovely listeners, it's time to tack your dram into the Cold Keith Museum and be TARDISed home again. Until we meet again, lovely listeners, thank you so much for attending the Keith and Craft Collective Burns Night Supper. So if you need a pee, stop, because it's time for the Daisy and Sandy giggle. The retreat stuff, I will be emailing everybody or messaging everybody in the next week about this. So don't worry, I haven't forgotten yet. I'm just trying to work out things in the background.
Coming up, it's near.
Coming up, apart from my retreat, is the Edinburgh Yarn Festival, which is on the 14th and 15th of March 2015 in the Edinburgh Corn Exchange. I'm going to be there on the Saturday and kicking about the podcaster lounge, where you're invited to come along and see things. I haven't actually thought of the things I'm going to do. Not so keen on doing a dram session before you request one, but if you have ideas of what you'd like me to talk about, answers on the postcard you're about to send me. The postcard, can you please answer the following question to win a pair of weekend tickets from the organisers of the festivals? So thank you very much. So this is a question. In which exchange is the Edinburgh Yarn Fest being held this year? I will have this competition open only until Valentine's Day 2015, and I'll then do a random number with an independent invigilator of Sandy and Daisy, and I'll open a thread on Ravelry for you to do this. So put what exchange is the Edinburgh Yarn Fest. And this is your answer on the postcard on a Ravelry thread for you. Please no chatter on the thread and don't be offended if I delete it. And this competition will close on Valentine's Day.
The beaker section. Me
section. Can you hear my little cardigan? Woohoo! It's singing away, quite the thing. It's doing a bit of Robbie Burns for you. And it's giving it big licks of my love is like a red, red rose. I am at the ribbing of the first sleeve, and I did extra decreases because I realised that it wasn't a full length sleeve, it was a 3/4 length sleeve, and I wanted a full length sleeve. So I did extra decreases and I knitted it and I put it on, and it fits, which is kind of good. And I was doing the ribbing last night and I was wondering what kind of casting off I should do. So I asked Mel, I'm waiting on her getting back to me. This is the kind of thing I can do when I've got a designer in my pocket, because she's on WhatsApp on my phone in my pocket. Yeah. Right. It's not really a hardship, it was quite nice. I did take it to chatter and knit with Naomi the other day out at Jonah Groat's, and I forgot to take the smaller needles, so I really didn't do any knitting on it, which was a shame. So definitely going to make the Isles jumper, because she's got the pattern now, and she's got some loppy wool from Iceland, and it's a really bonny kind of purple burgundy tweed affair she's got. And that's after this. So now I sat in the power cut and I started a tension square for Sandy's socks from the Gnome Acres yarn. I didn't do it in the round as suggested for socks. Somebody asked me, and it was main. I know that you're supposed to do that, but what you're supposed to do and what I do are mostly different things. And also, because I was in a power cut with a candle for company, I just wanted to knit something and anything, and it didn't occur to me at the time to make it in the round. I've not yet counted it, and to be perfectly honest, I had lost all my knitting mojo. The tartan bags have actually been received and are now currently being put into little piles and are going to be posted very soon from Mel's Outlander Ish clan kit. Kind of wish I had one now, but this is the cross stitch book by Diana Gabaldon, if anybody wondered. So on to the collective. I've also been to sewing days a couple of times, both times I nearly needed a bothered. On account of the first time there was another power cut, and the second time, well, now I had this idea of making a wrap skirt from a length of Hunter tartan that I had been given. I had saved it from making bags. So I took my own tartan wrap skirt, which I bought from Camden Market last summer. And it's really straightforward. And I was just going to cut around it, put on bias binding along the top with a buttonhole in the appropriate place and overlock the hem. And to me, the hardest thing was making a buttonhole, which I had instructions for the machine there. Mum was going to show me how to do the overlocking because she took her machine. I took out the tartan. Mum had her overlocker and all the gubbins, such as the cones of thread, the bias binding. She good as my mum. And we laid the skirt on top of the material that I'd not looked at properly before I went. Mm-hmm. Guess what I'm going to say? Well, then I realised that somebody had cut out a big chunk and it was now in an L shape. And this meant that the skirt couldn't be cut out in one piece. So Mum and various others tried to move it around. Well, they did, and they decided on a plan of attack. So I went and ironed it, and then to make the problem worse, I realised that it had two runs of thread and bubbled, which gave it a right and a wrong side. And then, once it had the pattern placed on it, and the place where it needed to be joined seemed too complicated. I don't much like matching tartan, because you need to be more exact than a Mars Beagle scientist. And I thought, stuff it, so I didn't make it. However, I have a pattern for a slouch bag, which is the new cool thing to make it sewing. Of course, I'll be making it, and I might just make it out of this tartan, because you don't have to match the tartan at all. Or tweed, because I've got a couple of bits of tweed. I've also been to textile artists, and we are doing crewel embroidery in the Jacobean style. Dorothy has bought a kit for this, and Shirley had finished her piece that started the rest of them on this mission. It is beautiful. Lorna had been in and taken what she had, and there's a picture of her work on Instagram. Again, absolutely stunning. Valerie wasn't doing Jacobean, but she was stitching down some wee snips and bitties of thread and materials onto tweed, and she was using a chain stitch to hold it down, which was quite good because I didn't have any idea of how I was going to put them onto a piece of fabric, because we all got given a bit of this from Ella's holiday in Australia. Quite generous that way. Anne was stitching down some woven strips of green material onto tweed, and then she kept complaining because the fish that she had cut out kept jumping off the table. It's a bit random, but I'm sure we'll see why in the end. Now, Joan and Ella both had the book Crewel Twists, Fresh Ideas for Jacobean Embroidery by Hazel Bloomkamp, and this is written with brilliant personality. Joan read us out a little bit, and it was about how Hazel, the author, didn't like thimbles, which was met with great gusto from a couple of our group members. I don't really like thimbles to you. Well, my fingers don't like thimbles. In my head, I like a thimble, but I tend to put a thimble on my middle finger with my right hand, because I'm right-handed, and then I use my fourth finger to push the needle through. So I take the thimble off that middle finger, put it on the fourth finger, and then I will use the middle finger to push the needle through, and I end up with a little hole in my finger. And if any of you are sewers and have bound a quilt recently by doing hand sewing, you will probably know what I'm talking about. So Hazel, there was a point here, she said that she puts a small drop of super glue on the hole, and it has to be wafted dry, and it's rock hard for sewing with it. And then she says it peels off within the day and doesn't cause any harm. However, I cannot recommend this to anyone. Proceed at your own caution, because it's super glue. Your fingers, super glue them together. And also, she said, don't get too het up about making your stitches completely true. I kind of like this. If it looks okay at arm's length, then it is okay. But, you know, I could feel the WRI shuddering as Joan spoke. The bairns are back, by the way, from school. However, I'd love to have Hazel round for a cup of tea and a wee stitch. She sounds like my kind of crafter. There were various projects of crewel embroidery sitting around the table. So Joan had traced from her book, and she had a light bulb moment 3 stitches in. She actually was using a light bulb and magnifying glass that she'd taken in from home. She had this genius idea. She had her linen or cotton or some kind of white fabric. I might have asked her, but I can't remember what she said. And it's in the embroidery hoop. She hands it over to me, and I look puzzled at the way she's done it. So she's got 2 layers of material, and the bottom one being the one she's stitching on with a design. And the top one was the same sort of width and distance, but the bottom, but the top one had been trimmed in the middle of the hoop. So there was 0.5 centimetre inside the hoop, but the design was showing through like a window. The rest of the material is a shield to the good material so it doesn't get dirtied by the hoop or the hands that are continually working on, as well can happen. This is a thing I thought so obvious, I should have thought of it. And Joan then reminisced about her old needlework teacher who had done this and told him how to do it. She said she had a face that never smiled and looked like she sucked lemons her entire life. Turns out most of them had teachers like this, but as two of them used to be my teachers, I kept my mouth firmly shut. I don't have any of the cruel embroidery wools or fabric, so I carried on stitching chain stitches onto a piece of purple hand-dyed by me cotton with various threads and wools and tonal purples. Now, can you mind? Yeah, sit closer, come in a bit. We might need to rub our brains together for this. Can ye mind back about November? Now, Shirley had given us all in textiles a plain cotton shopping bag that she'd bought from Hobbycraft. That's fine, I know where that is. And a bit of lace. She told us to do something with it. Well, I promptly hand-dyed both my lace and my bag, purple for the lace and lemon for the bag, showed them the bag and the lace, but I hadn't sewn the lace on. Now, I've recently gone to sew on the lace. Can I find it? No, listeners, I cannot. My craft room has swallowed said bit of lace and is not giving it up lightly. And what makes matters worse is now I know exactly what I want to do with the lace, trim this top piece of purple cotton I'm embroidering onto and make it an outside pocket. And also, the last week, Richard has finally decided to do a bit of DIY in our house. Oh, I hate DIY. That involves one side of the loft being put into the craft side of the loft, which means I haven't enough room to swing Buchel about by his tail. Not that I would. Very tempting, but no, I won't. That's a bit cruel. So come closer. Come closer, listener. Do you know where it is? Or, lovely listener, do you have it stuffed inside your project bag like the magpie you are? Come here. Let me see. No? Darn.
Shoppy section.
The shop is stocked. There are some McLean bags, Gordon, Farquharson, Robertson, and I was going to say Inch and Macmillan, but I have the tartan, I just haven't made the bags. And I'm going to go back up and do some bags. And if you are an Outlander fan, stay tuned in the next few weeks. There'll be some ancient Fraser tartan bags coming up that aren't anything like the ones I did for Mel, because it's the same clan but different tartan. And if you would like to contribute to my continued running of the podcast but get stuff back, please as well, do visit www.etsy.com/shop/KeithNessCraft. And if you keep requesting what tartan it is, then if I get more than two people, I'll order it in for you.
Blah, blah, blah section.
Thank you very much for listening. Hope you don't have a hangover tomorrow. Well, you won't, because it's a magic party. I really appreciate you taking the time to download and listen to me splaff on. I better go and speak to my children now. My email is KeithNessCraftCollective@gmail.com. I'm on Ravelry as Louise Hunt. Etsy, Twitter, Pinterest, Instagram, Facebook as KeithNessCraft. You can access my Flickr photographs from LouiseG2010. You can get them via the Podbean website as www.KeithNessCraftCollective.podbean.com. And the music was from Avalon Rising, The Great Selkie. And this is from musicalley.com as ever, and you can go and buy it there. Thank you for listening. Please keep on crafting.